Well, Anna Marie, I know that each time we get together and we're doing this question and answer session on different aspects, we've actually started in Genesis in a lot of things, and actually you've brought us back there a few times. Now we're in the Gospels, and we're appreciating it, and yet the Gospels trickle into the epistles, because even when the event at the of the crucifixion and the resurrection, when we look at them through the gospel lens, he's still surrounded, talking about our Lord and Savior Christ, he's still surrounded by a bunch of disciples that don't get it. They're some of them are running scared, some of them are still very, very young in the faith. And the church hasn't even started yet. But so now we need to look back at that. So we'll look back at that through Paul's inspired eyes. But also we'll look at it from our 2015 lens in looking at the scripture. So what happened at the cross? What happened at the resurrection? Why are we going here? What's on your mind? Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even more importantly, because historically we know what happened at the cross. I mean, we've all probably seen the movie The Passion. We know what happened at the resurrection. We celebrated it at Easter time. So we know all the historical events. But where I want to go to is, how does this benefit me? Mm. How does it change me? Or does it change me?
Right.
So we know we discussed last week what happened at the fall. So we'll revisit it. God created us in his image, in his likeness. We were created innocent, and freedom was given to Adam. Mm-hmm. And the two trees represented this freedom. You can eat from the tree of you can eat from all the trees, including the tree of life, or you can eat from the tree of if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, death is going to come in. And so God said, don't eat of that. It was God's protective love to deter evil and pain and sorrow. Well, Adam chose the independent way. I'm okay. I can do this without God. And so at the cross, Jesus undoes what Adam did. Because the result was the next generation, you know, Cain kills Abel. Those are his first two children.
Mm.
And then, you know, 930 some years down the road, we see Adam died and so-and-so died and Enoch died. And we see death came in, but not for a long time.
Yeah.
So this was seemed to be this big postponement, almost might have made mankind think, you know, it doesn't matter much.
Right.
I mean, you know, it didn't happen. I didn't drop dead when this happened. So there is some confusion and maybe some misconception about what God says and what the truth is. So Jesus came to undo the lies of what, you know, what took place from the fall to present, to his present time.
Mm.
And he was persuading first the religious leaders. He came to the lost sheep of Israel, right? The
yes.
lost house of Israel.
Yeah.
So the first part of the gospel, we see him, you know, in the temple, reading the scroll, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. We see him constantly, you know, teaching at the temple, even as a little boy starts there. And, you know, and then, he's, of course, he's constantly dealing with Israel. You know, even the disciples were all Israelites. You know, there were Jews, you know, very religious people attending the synagogue. And so he is now, you know, now telling them about the Father. And he's saying that I am a representative of the Father. I am, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And they go, you're trying to tell us you're God, you blasphemous person. We're not buying this. And so the religious leaders, you know, not evil started to happen in the temple. And so then Jesus went and began to now minister to the Gentiles. And so we find the Samaritan woman, we find the Zacchaeus, I'm not sure Zacchaeus is not Jewish or not, but anyhow, we see many, he ministers to the centurions, he heals the sick, he raises the dead, and he begins ministering to whomever.
Right.
Which makes the religious leaders at the time really angry.
Right.
And so in the meantime, this period of time is such a violent period of time. Rome is in charge, and Rome, is known, we know through history, for their brutality in dealing with people that break laws, their laws. And so
right.
Here there is this war between the high priest and the religious leaders and the Roman government. And so the Roman government says, I find no fault in him. He's innocent. And the religious leader says, yeah, but he says he's God. And he says, well, you deal with him. He's a part of your religion. And they say, no, we can't deal with him because it's the Sabbath. We can't do anything on the Sabbath. So you kill him. And so the religious leaders wanted him killed, and the Roman government was made to do the killing.
Mm.
This is the point where the cross happens. It was an innocent person dies.
Mm.
Now, it seems like it's this battle between good and evil or between two great powers. We talk about principalities and powers that have the authority to kill a person.
Right.
And so it is to this violent place that Jesus, God in the flesh, comes to put an end to violence. And so, and for us to see how great evil has come up to the point that there is no thought of the value of a human life when he created us so valuable. And the first little sermon that we did was, what does God think about us? And his value for us is, he thinks great thoughts about us. We are his children. We are created in his image and likeness. And here is man at its worst. God says, he prophesied way back in Genesis, we're going to put an end to this. We're going to put an end to it. The cross will do it. And so he gave himself. The Romans didn't kill him. The Jews didn't kill him. He gave his life. But in this process of this event, it demonstrated how far evil can go.
Right.
And so he begins to undo what Adam did. He begins to undo. He says, look, I love you. I'm going to prove that I love you. I'm going to give my life, and this is what's going to happen. You're going to be reconciled to God. God is not mad at you. You think God is mad at you? He's not mad at you. He loves you. You are forgiven. I paid for all the sins you committed, from Adam to the very last baby that's going to be born. I paid for them all. I gave my life because a life, the law required a life for sin. And I fulfilled the law. I paid for your debt. You're free. You're totally forgiven. And now you have access to the Father. You can come boldly to the throne of grace. You can talk directly to the Father. And I am there as your advocate. I confirm to the Father that I paid for your life, and that and the Father knows I paid, and the Father accepted my sacrifice, and it's all okay, but you need to be persuaded
right.
that you're reconciled. And that there is no distance between you and God anymore. So that's pretty much what happened at the cross. But more important than that, so all of that is identification, is the substitution. He died in our place so that we would know that we were not alienated from the Father. But something even greater than that happened, and that was the incarnation. And I think we touched about that, how God came in the flesh when he was born. Emmanuel, God with us. God in us. Well, now God lay aside his God-like status and took on human flesh. And at the cross, when he cried, my God, why have you forgiven me? Why have you forsaken me? The humanity of Christ was never demonstrated more than at that moment, to the point that we believe God has really forsaken him. But what he was crying out was our forsakenness, how we feel, how helpless we feel, that we can't get through, we can't overcome anything. We are in sorrow and in pain and feel alienated and separated and feel rejected. And he's saying he felt that forsakenness as he was flesh.
Right.
He felt our forsakenness so that we don't have to feel forsaken anymore. Mm. So we don't have to feel abandoned anymore.
Right.
So that we don't have to feel the alienation or the separation. So that was the focus, the focal point of the cross. And Paul says it probably more succinctly than any other in Galatians 2:20 when he says, I was crucified with Christ. I have been. It's not even I was. I have been crucified with Christ. I have shared his crucifixion, in other words. In other words, when Christ died, I was included in his death. Mm. That's a whole different thing that Christ dying in my place. Now I see, yeah, he did that, but I was included in his crucifixion. And I was included in his resurrection. Mm. So this is why we can't separate the cross from the resurrection.
Right.
Because whatever happens at the cross moves right on, and the resurrection is a result of it. So if I was crucified with Christ, which I was, scripture is all over, it's very clear, then I was raised with him automatically. I can't worry about, now, am I really raised
right.
with Christ?
Right.
No, because if we died with him, then we were raised with him. And this is where we get his life, the resurrection life. So Jesus said, so the resurrection life is not just, resurrection is not just an event. It is a person. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And now he lives in me.
Mm.
I was raised with him. He lives in me. And it doesn't even stop there. It goes on to the ascension. Because it says that he also raised with me at the right hand of the Father, with him, in him, to rule. So now I'm brought back all the way to Genesis 1:26-27, created in his image, in his likeness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And God blessed them, just so we forget that, you know, that God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over everything that I've created. So that's ruling and reigning. And that is done from the resurrection side of this relationship with God. And that resurrection side and the sitting, so we were crucified with Christ, oneness. It's what Jesus prays in John 17. We are one with Christ, one with the Father, one with the Holy Spirit. We're included in his death. We're included in his burial. We're included in his resurrection. We are included in his ascension. And now he rules in us. He uses our voice to rule. For us to rule, first and foremost, our own lives. And that begins with the renewing of the mind. God wants us to, we have a mindset that we were enemies of God. That was our mindset. God never saw himself as an enemy of us.
Right.
Never. So this mindset that I'm not good enough, God is against me, all this evil that I'm suffering, all this pain comes before because God has abandoned me, God doesn't care about me, God doesn't love me, all of that is a mindset that the Bible calls us to repentance.
Mm.
It says change your thinking
right.
and change your mind because that's really not the way it is. God proved it on the cross because the scripture says that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the proof of God's love, so beautifully demonstrated on the cross, and so powerfully demonstrated in the resurrection, that we can't say, well, I'm helpless. I can't do anything when Christ lives in me. So does it help us to know that we are one with Christ and that we have the resurrection life in us? In other words, not just existence. Okay, I get up in the morning and I go to work. I hate my job. I don't really like what I'm doing. Really don't like the people I work with. I go home. I pay the bills. I go out the next morning. I do it again. That's existence. That's survival. That's not resurrection life. Resurrection life is that you come out victorious over whatever hindrances you face in your day because Christ is in you, giving you the power to overcome whatever has to be overcome. And might not be the same day victory, but some of those victories that we have daily that we deal with in our thinking, we will reap the victories, the results, a week down the road, a month down the road, 2 months down the road. But victory is certain because victory is connected with the resurrection. Amen. So now questions, what goes on in your mind when you think of this? Isn't this amazing?
Yeah, and it is, what I think is amazing about it is the Christ in you and you're in Christ. And if he didn't rise from the dead, then we wouldn't have been justified because he would have been just another one of the martyrs that is out there that died. There's a bunch of
holy men that died.
Resurrection verifies what the Father said about him not seeing corruption and all of those different things. So, no, that's fantastic. Well, let's do this, if you would. Let's pray for the person who's listening to this today, and it's like, I want to believe this, help my unbelief, and that they would get a fresh wind, a fresh fire concerning the fact that this isn't just academic, it's not just historical, but it is personal, and it is exactly what they need to claim with the Lord.
Yes. Father, we thank you that your love for us is so amazing, that you lavished it on us from the beginning, and you never for a moment have stopped loving us. And this plan was set in motion way before we even created the heavens and the earth. This plan was in your heart and mind, and that Adam didn't totally mess it up. But you continued in your plan. You continued to love us and pursue us, and you beautifully executed your plan through Jesus Christ when he came to live on the earth. And so through his death and resurrection, we became a new creation, now with you living in us. And this is glorious, Father. We are so grateful and thankful that there is no hindrance and no separation, that we are included in you, in your death, in your resurrection, in your ascension, and that we are not forsaken. We are not alone. We are not abandoned. You said you will not leave us orphaned. We are not orphaned. And Father, this is where we are persuaded that what you say about us is truth. And we can't fight against the truth. The truth is the truth. We can only benefit from it. And Father, we believe that what you said, you did. And we believe that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, and therefore we can live our life now, the resurrected life that you prepare for us, by focusing on the fact that you are in us and we are in you, and that we are inseparable. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.